Welcome back, everybody, to Cultivating Change with Martin Mayorga, produced by Nikki Mayorga. And Nikki, why don't you say hello, and you're going to have to yell because we couldn't figure out how to set up the third mic.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
That's Nikki. He is the producer. He set up a pretty sweet studio here in Rockville, Maryland, where our corporate facility and offices are. We do a lot of roasting and distribution from here. We've been based in Rockville since 1997. And I come up every other week or so. This week I'm here for some first quarter P&L reviews and some management meetings and reviews, etc. And I figured I'd take this opportunity to sit down with some staff, and we're gonna start with Eduardo Choza, who has been with Mayorga for about 2 years. So say hello and introduce yourself, Eduardo.
Hello, everybody. I am Eduardo Choza, as you just heard. I've been working with Martin and with Mayorga for the last 2 years. What else would you like to know?
Well, let's get into it, shall we? This is more of a get to know the people behind Mayorga, the people that are behind a company that it's very forward thinking and very progressive in the supply chain side of things, meaning supporting small farmers. As you can see in our video, if you're on YouTube, we have our purpose behind us in our conference room to eliminate systemic poverty in rural Latin America through responsible trade of artisanal organic foods. So why don't we start with you telling us a little bit about what that means to you and how you ended up here.
So what that means to me, I mean, it's a huge purpose. It's the reason why I'm here, I mean, frankly. I've been living in the area for the last 5 years. I'm originally from California. And my first encounter with Mayorga was working at a grocery store stocking shelves. Like, I was stocking the coffee section and started reading the back of the bags. And the one that stood out to me was this really loud orangey-yellow bag. I'm like, what is this? I flipped it around. I saw that, it was a Latino company and had your picture on it.
That's why you bought it. You saw the picture.
You have to have it. So you looked a lot younger, obviously. but it really stood out to me. I mean, that was my first encounter, with Mayorga, was actually, stocking coffee. And it always, stayed in the back of my mind. And what really got me here was taking a trip to El Salvador in 2017 with my wife. And we went, we dedicated a day to go to Ataco and Ahuachapan. And I got to interact with some coffee producers there locally and, got to hear their plight firsthand and, heard some of their concerns and that nobody was doing anything about it really and that they got taken advantage of. And I knew that I needed to move into something that was more for the people. I mean, that's how, I guess I kind of was like that in high school and a little bit in college, but I'm glad I found my way back to that type of movement.
And why does that matter to you personally?
I mean, personally, because it's about uplifting our people. And by our people, I mean, I identify as Latino, as Mexicano, Latinx, whatever label you want to put on it. I mean, I'm all for uplifting our people and people of color, the people that have been underrepresented. It's really important to me because we don't always get that shot, And especially in rural Latin America, there's a lot of mistrust and a lot happens and you get one shot and that's it. So
yeah, like Eminem.
Like Eminem, yeah.
And ultimately, I think that's something you came at a time really where I just basically had taken over across the board the recruiting side of the business. And what I started doing was saying, you know what, talent and skill can be learned, but passion and purpose are in you or they're not. And you came in at a time when I was really heavy into that, and I'm still heavy into that. What has happened and what in your roles in this company have you been able to do to be able to really, because as you know, I mean, a lot of companies say they do things and we know there's a lot of companies in our industry who we know lie, who we know make up Absolutely. Stories and tell a lot of things that aren't true or really, really, really embellish. What are, by the way, those background noises in the back are our roasting facility in operations, if anybody's wondering. What have you been able to do once since you joined Mayorga that has helped you really believe that you're part of the purpose? And actually, really, without guiding you, because we haven't rehearsed this or discussed it, do you believe that, you know, Mayorga lives its purpose and really actually is making the strides and the steps towards fulfilling it, which we all know is very unrealistic to do within our lifetime, but mm-hmm. it's good to have a lofty purpose. So coming in with the purpose, having been here almost 2 years, what do you see as far as like how real it is and how much of a power you've had to actually live within that?
I mean, do we live our purpose? Definitely. I mean, it's the reason why a lot of us are here, you know, is that it's a really purpose-driven company, and we walk it like we talk it, you know, like it's very fortunate to be able to do that. What I've done here myself, I mean, I've grown a lot, man. I think, you know, given the opportunities, I've grown a lot, and you know, I've been able to set up our little San Franciscan 25-pound roaster, you know, launched our retail space, our revamped retail space, you know, the small roasting production area, which is dedicated to, you know, our regional and local clients in the area. You know, been involved in the Chia program, launching that in Mexico. So
let's dissect that a little bit, because one of the things you first mentioned is the San Franciscan. And it's funny because we say, you know, our little San Franciscan roaster. I mean, Erin just went to the Specialty Coffee Association show, and she went to a talk where they talked about setting up a roasting facility. And she said somebody there commented that they planned for 2 years to set up a roasting facility centered around a 12-kilo roaster, which is essentially what the San Franciscan is, which to us is like a nice little roaster for Michael Lotz.
Sure.
But that was your first task when you came to work with Mayorga.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Man, so that was like the bane of my existence here. It was a very challenging task. I had never done any type of, project management on that scale and coordinating different bodies and making sure that we had the right equipment and sourcing the right stuff, the right flue for the roaster and things like that. So it was definitely a challenge, but I figured, and when I was done with it, when actually everything went through and everything went according to plan, it felt so great because I had done something I'd never done before, and it just, I don't know, it felt empowering in a way, even if it was as simple as...
You know, honestly, you know, I think it was a process that I purposely, and I think you've referred to it in the past as hazing, but, you know, I purposely bring people in, I put them on a task that's relatively lofty, but in my opinion, very achievable, and with very limited instruction. And the reason I do that is, number one, I want to give you something that you need to problem solve and push through and maybe stress and struggle through. And number two, to let you see that some of the things that we see people in our industry and other industries do aren't as complex as others would make it seem. Because ultimately, I mean, what was my directive to you?
Get it done.
And what instructions did I give you?
Very minimal.
Get it done.
It done. Like, here's a roaster. Make sure we get it up by this date.
Yeah, and I think it's ultimately, it's how we operate, right? You know, we kind of just, I compare it to how I learned how to swim. When I was about 3.5 years old, my dad grabbed me, took me into the ocean in Nicaragua, swam out like past the waves, and just threw me out there. He's like, swim back. And it's basically literally sink or swim. Obviously, that's a little more extreme and old school. You know, my dad was an old school Nicaraguan guy. But fuck, I learned how to swim quick.
Yeah.
But that's my approach to things without it being, you know, kind of a overwhelming punitive thing. I think it's more empowering to people to see, like, you know, I think romanticize what they're doing in our industry. You know, we set up this roaster, we did this. Like, dude, yeah, you bought a roaster. You called the gas company to connect it to gas. You got a contractor to, you know, attach the flue. You ran the electric. It's common sense. And I think one of the things that I try to do here is, you know, let our staff and people that we work with see the, we can demystify a lot of things so that we can actually be effective.
Yeah.
Because I think the mystique created in the business world leads to the kind of self-glorification of those companies and even makes them believe their own bullshit. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like, here's reality, man. Set up the roaster and let's keep moving.
Just do it.
You know, we had a staff meeting today and it was just like, I feel like every time I talk to you guys, I'm probably like dropping crazy shit on you where you're like, you know, we're building a facility in Miami bigger than this one. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing, you know, obviously volume of coffee, but we're going to be putting cacao. We have a cacao roaster already purchased. We're going to be trading cacao, which we've been dabbling in for years. We're going to be creating quality standards. We just do things that need to get done. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of companies spend their time glorifying things. And I think the roasting, hazing was part of your introduction to that. And then you touched on the Mexico thing. So why don't you talk a little bit about Mexico and what you're doing there? And
yeah, so for Mexico, that's one of the areas where we get our chia from. And, you know, I have built that relationship with our you know, our chia producers and providers down there. And it's been eye-opening, you know, for them, for sure, because, you know, coming down from the U.S. to Mexico, they're expecting somebody that's blonde hair, blue eye, you know, super tall or something. But it's very relatable because I'm like, you know, their cousin or like their kids, you know.
Right.
And a lot of them have spent time in the U.S. as well, you know, throughout their lifetime. So it's great for them to see somebody like them in the sense, like, you know, we're the same. Same skin tone, you know, we both speak Spanish, and make
eat
it
the same food.
Yeah, we
use the same slang.
Exactly, unos tacos.
Yeah, you know, and I think one of the things you're doing the very typical Mayorga thing, which is you're underplaying the shit out of what you're doing there, because, and that's something you probably learned from me, where, you know, I hate to glorify and kind of the shit we do. Companies that pretend to do it would be spending hundreds of thousands of dollars advertising and promoting. Yeah. Ultimately, we're producing 2.5 million pounds of chia there with a guaranteed supply to our partners in Mexico. You've been there, you've engaged with them, you've met them. Yeah. When we started with them, they were struggling to launch because it was too big.
Yeah.
So you negotiated basically with me to advance them money and to get them off the ground, to really trust them so that they can get going. And the impact of that is massive, man.
Oh, it's been huge.
It's freaking huge.
You see the impact already with a lot of them. And, I mean, a lot of it was difficult at first because there's a lot of mistrust that happens. You know, they've been fucked over for years by you know, big companies in the U.S. or abroad and things like that. And, you know, it's hard for somebody to believe, hey, this is a relationship that we're building for the long run. But, dude, this is something we're going to do for the long run. Like, you know, you do what you do on your side, we'll do what we do on our side, and we'll keep this relationship going. So
yeah, and it's a very human connection, and it's a very human process.
Absolutely.
And this is what's interesting, where, you know, it's like if you were to put this on your resume, you would say that, you know, you're handling procurement of, you know, you're handling international agricultural trade and finance and logistical bullshit.
Yeah,
dude, and it's funny because we are doing that.
Yeah,
we actually are very sophisticated in what we do. We just don't live within that. We realize that at the end of the day, everything breaks down to human engagement. You know, that it's just business thing is bullshit. It's people. They have a vested interest in their future. We have a vested interest in ours, and we then mutually have a vested interest in each other's.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we do a lot of things. I mean, so you handle Mexico, which is 2.5 million pounds a year, and then I'm managing Nicaragua with Juan, who, you know, manages our export company there, manages our agronomist there. We're a lot more engaged there because we have 350 very small producers there producing, you know, less scale, but it's a lot of work for them and a huge opportunity for them because they make five times the income than they were making on the land. But, you know, aggregately, we're doing 4 million pounds of chia with these two countries, and you're managing a major part of that. And you know, it's. I always say, you know, the skills and the talent, we'll learn it. You know, you're managing now logistics and imports. I mean, what are we bringing in, 2-4 containers a week?
Yeah, man.
I mean, that's 80 to 160,000 pounds a week just from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And you're handling, like, seaway bills and, you know, all the logistical stuff that you really, like, you know, you would think requires some sort of, like, you know, postgraduate degree, because the stuff we do is pretty sophisticated. But I think we just realize, like, we don't pump ourselves up to, you know, I don't know, feel special because of that.
Yeah.
We feel special when we celebrate the fact that, man, these people are making money and these people are growing. They're investing in their own infrastructure and their own, you know, livelihoods in their communities. And I think it's pretty cool that you can come in really caring about what we want to do, and your personal purpose allows you to put yourself in a position to want to learn those things and succeed in them. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately how you built the business. Mm-hmm. You know, I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I figure it out day by day, you know, and I think when you care and you have a passion and a purpose, you figure it out, and you figure out better than the people who may have had the roadmap lined up and put in front of them, because we're doing it super well right now. I mean, we're selling chia at this point internationally, you know, 4 million pounds of chia internationally. I mean, we're moving and we're competing against companies $1 billion average in annual revenue, and we're kicking their asses because we're down there, we're engaged, you're building the relationship, we're getting everything efficient. It's pretty cool to see.
I think also what just makes it really special for us is that we both know it's bigger than us.
Yeah.
It's not about you. It's not about me. It's a lot bigger than us, and that's what makes it you know, really satisfying, is that it's making a huge impact, you know. So
I think the frustration is getting that to the consumer. So many big companies do a great job of just telling the lies. Mm-hmm. You know, I've sat in front of retailers, big retailers that I've been trying to sell, especially chia. Like, oh, we work with so-and-so. They go directly to the source. Guess what, dude? I know the source.
Yeah.
I've talked to that trader.
Yeah.
They've tried to sell me the same stuff because they'll sell it to anybody. And, you know, and it's just like, dude, going to the source, what does that mean? You went to the major exporter that exploited all the farmers.
Yep.
And so it's tough. I think that's our challenge. But I think if by proving that we can pay farmers better and give consumers a better price while maintaining a very high-quality standard, eventually people will figure it out, mm-hmm. because our market share will keep growing and our competitors will keep, you know, be left scratching their heads. I remember at the Expo East, we had a big competitor, big company, mm-hmm. just kind of questioning everything we did because they couldn't figure it out. Well, guess what, dude? You and your 18 guys sitting there, you know, in the sales team, it's you. You're the problem. You're the inefficiency that's been created by this company. Mm-hmm. Our company is like super lean and aggressive, and you know, my saying is everything's a priority and, you know, everything needs to be done today.
A1.
I mean, we literally will have a meeting and we say something and I have no problem with it. People just bust out their phone and send that email, mm-hmm. as soon as we say, okay, we got to contact so-and-so. I think it's part of, that culture is part of what makes us really effective.
Absolutely.
So what else, I mean, what are the, from your previous jobs, and obviously you have a good experience with grocery and coffee, you came from coffee originally, and I think you've evolved a little bit. I mean, you placed top 8 in the country for coffee roasters, and you definitely...
That's one of the biggest things that I never thought I'd have the opportunity to learn or to do is to roast, right? It goes along with all the growth that I've had here, but roasting is something that, you know, I was very passionate about. I'm very passionate about the quality of our coffee and how we do things. And early on, I took a huge liking to it and enjoyed experimenting with our different coffees and things like that. But I feel like I only roasted really like full time for about 6 months.
Yeah.
So, and I decided to do this roasting competition. I placed fourth in Nashville out of 32 people. And then...
So you're being humble again. The way I pitch it and the way that I see it is... There's two competitions, East Coast, West Coast. You placed number 4 in the East Coast. You're top 8 in the country. That's how I see it. So go ahead.
I have a hard time tooting my horn.
I do too, and I get it. But that's the fact.
Yeah, so, I mean, and that was really special because, you know, to be there, and I wasn't, like, when I was there, I wasn't representing myself. Like, I was representing all the producers that we work with Pedro, with Max, Oscar, Mildred, all of our producers that we work with, that was the number one reason to be there, and to also let people know, hey, we're here, you know?
You know, I appreciated that approach you took, because I think ultimately most people, if not all, that do these things are there for them. Put the spotlight on me. I'm the fucking best. I'm the greatest. Look at how I roast coffee. I turn coffee brown better than everybody. And Oh, by the way, you don't know this, but I paid a consultant $20,000 to train me mm-hmm. on how to win this competition because I'm that egocentric and that egotistical that I want to be put on this pedestal for myself. And to be honest, that's why I never actually participated in those things. In 22 years, I haven't submitted into awards. And, you know, you coming in, other people like Wendy coming in that really see, and I think I needed that outside perspective of new blood coming in. Like, no, we have to tell people. You know, our Costa Rica Perla Negra won, you know, best new product on Expo East last year mm-hmm. for coffee. And, you know, and people care about that stuff. I don't care, but consumers care and the market cares. And I feel like I've avoided it because I didn't want to make it all about us. So I really like the approach you took of like, I'm not here for me, man. I'm here for our farmers and our staff. And like, you name the farmers and none of these people know who the farmers are.
When I was roasting the coffee for the competition, that, you know, all the roasters got the same coffee. We ended up roasting it whatever which way we wanted. When I was roasting it, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, Alfredo that, you know, he's been roasting for
20 years,
you know, with Mayorga and, you know, our staff, Zoila, my favorite little lady in production.
She's everybody's favorite.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think ultimately it's just a matter of seeing that it's much bigger than us and much bigger than even the people we know. And, you know, for me, it's also been important, and you've been a part of, you know, you've traveled to Honduras, you've traveled to Costa Rica, you've traveled to Mexico for Mayorga. Obviously, you've done your own travels in Latin America, but this stuff is important. And I think it's such a no-brainer for me that, you know, our industry, especially on the coffee side, just talks about so much stuff and what we can do and what we should do, and they don't do a damn thing.
Yeah.
We're moving 4 million pounds of chia today. Because in 2013, we saw producers about to lose their farms because of the coffee rust. We planted chia in their non-shade land where they were growing beans, produced chia, grew that from 12 producers, 30-some thousand pounds, to 350 producers in Nicaragua, and, you know, an aggregate poundage of about 4 million pounds of chia. And we're moving as much chia as coffee now in poundage. It's crazy.
Crazy.
And you know what? We're just getting started, man. I mean, once we get into this cacao thing, people are going to be blown away about what we have in our back pocket. And, you know, we're developing some black beans and red beans and quinoa. And it's all for the sake of helping producers, starting with what makes them better, what takes care of them. And ultimately what happens is we get a better product at a better price to our customers. Mm. So I think I'm excited for that. And
absolutely, man.
You know, I think it's nice to see people, and we now have a great, great crew that gets it. And I think it's basically like we might as well tattoo our purpose on everybody because I'm pretty much adamant about
free tattoos. Yeah. First time.
Like your first day here, like you're getting tattooed because that's the thing, man. It's like the more we really harp on that, the more people can really align with it.
No, it's definitely really special, man. I mean, being here and experiencing, you know, going through the growth process. I've managed before, managed at shops and things like that, but actually learning some other stuff, the project management, logistics, a whole bunch of stuff, man, importing coffee.
I mean, because of you, contracts. We're working with a family in a community in El Salvador who's specifically growing organic coffee to protect the land, because in El Salvador, a lot of people are selling their land because the market sucks.
Yeah.
And they can sell their land for development. And this family is basically focused on protecting the land, taking care of people, giving them jobs, and going organic for all those purposes. Because of you, because of your engagement, and you basically pushing it on me, we got their stuff being packed up and shipped, and we're buying all their coffee.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
It's great, man.
It's a great coffee, too.
Yeah, it's really nice coffee. And, you know, we got this guy in Colombia that was struggling, and, you know, he came in and talked to you, and then, you know, you helped me kind of weed through the bullshitters. You know, there's a lot of people like, oh, I can get you great coffee. It's like, dude, just because you're from Colombia doesn't mean you can do anything special.
Yeah.
And just like everybody else, all you're going to do is go buy cheap coffee and try to sell it to me for more money. And sorry, dude, it ain't 1974 anymore. Like, we can see through that on day one. This dude was different. He's trying to help. He worked for NGOs, and he's trying to help these very, very rural farmers.
Yeah.
Basically stay away from the coca growing, which is financially lucrative, but it's part of an illicit illegal market, which not the best thing to kind of be a part of. So, you know, we're supporting that guy. And, you know, there's a lot of new projects in the pipeline.
Yeah, I think it's really important to support like-minded individuals that also get it, you know. I feel like that we kind of have that obligation in a way to, if we can support, to support in any way that we can.
Dude, we definitely have that obligation. Yeah. In my opinion, A, I'm not sitting here and this company isn't where it is because I did it by myself. That's bullshit. Anybody who says they built the business on their own is completely lost in their ego. The reality is we've advanced and we've gotten to where we are because I had people along the way starting and clients that we sell to now that believed in us and saw that we had a like-minded approach to how we do things to them. You look at all our large clients, philosophically, we're very similar. Yeah, some of our clients are multi-billion dollar companies. The mindset's the same. Drive value up and down the supply chain. Be good to your producers, be great to your consumers, everybody wins. And I think that's something that we can't forget and that doesn't get lost, and why we're also very selective about who we sell to. You know, I think that's a privilege that we also have, that we will only sell to like-minded companies, and we will support and help like-minded individuals trying to get ahead. What else, man? Anything you want to end with as we wind down?
What else? I mean, I definitely appreciate working here. I mean, I guess just to go back a little bit with the roasting stuff, you know, when I did my presentation and I talked about, you know, the reasons why I was there, I spent most of my time talking about that and very little talking about the coffee. Mm-hmm. My last couple minutes I dedicated to talking about the coffee. And I remember telling you, man, if I didn't place, it's okay because we already won. You know, that time that I was there, we met somebody from the local community that was, you know, is involved with a nonprofit and has a social enterprise with coffee.
Oh yeah.
And I'm happy that we're working on that project. I don't know if you want to speak a little bit about.
Well, you can speak to it because again, it's a project you brought to the table and you really pushed.
So Humphrey Street Coffee is something that we're going to be partnering with. They are a nonprofit organization under Harvest Hands in Nashville, Tennessee, that they provide jobs to the local youth in the community.
In the public housing community, right?
Yeah, specifically in the public housing community that's there. And they run a coffee shop, they roast coffee, and we're going to be donating coffee to them. And what that's able to do for them is it's going to provide additional jobs, additional openings for jobs. So they're going to be hiring more youth, and it's a project I'm happy that we met them. Like it was
my favorite part of that.
Yeah,
that and the barbecue.
Definitely.
You know, the hipster show at the competition was. Although we met some cool people, we met some good Latino roasters, and we made some good friendships there. But I think. To your point, I think, you know, this group in Nashville, I mean, they were so nice, man, and the whole, you know, the family took us around. The coffee shop's beautiful. It's in the church, the old church that was donated to them, and they're doing the right thing, man. And to me, one of the things I actually feel the best about isn't, you know, we're making all this money or we're generating all this revenue. It's stuff like that. It's like, man, like, now we're giving them enough financial support where they're going to really be able to help these kids with some good skills and training and just a good use of their time to feel good about themselves. And that's the impact that I fucking love, you know.
Like, absolutely. Like,
we may not see it. It's there, though. And, you know, at some point, we might run into a kid when they're 30 years old and be like, hey, man, I worked at Humphrey's and, you know, I learned this and that, and now I'm, you know, whatever, an engineer.
It's definitely huge. I think that's been one of my top favorite things here is and it's something we just got involved with recently, but I think it's awesome that we can do that and make a difference in the local community as well. The other thing that came out of it too was actually meeting other Latino roasters that are also interested in making a difference. They might not be the owner of their roastery, but I mean they definitely have some type of say as well. So
yeah, that's what I get excited about, to be honest, is just how we can leverage what we've built, our hard work, and not even to like give somebody, like, push somebody up, but just to give them a little hand and just let them kind of prop themselves up and keep growing. We see it in coffee communities with the evolution of communities when farmers are now buying pickup trucks and, you know, getting evolved in their capacities and creating diversified products, whether it's honey or cascara or cacao or whatever else. I mean, that just forward momentum. And you know this because you've worked with me, and I'm a fucking pain in the ass to work with because I'm all about forward momentum 24/7. And to me, that's what gets me excited, is that the more people that we get around us that can be part of that forward momentum, the more excited I get.
Yeah, man.
Anything else? Any last wise words?
Nah, man. I think that that's where it's all at is momentum. I mean, we're in growth mode right now, which is really awesome, both for us and for other, you know, producers out there as well. And I mean, we're coming, man.
That's right.
Mayorga's coming.
All right. Good talking to you, buddy.
Excellent.
And, you know, we will keep an eye out on Eduardo on our social media. Specifically, we're big fans of Instagram because I think our business is a very people-driven business, and we have a lot of true engagement in Latin America with our, you know, now friends at Origin. So you should go to @MayorgaOrganics.com, follow us on Instagram. And you'll definitely see Eduardo's beautiful face because he loves to be part of our social media.
It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, man. The spokesmodel. Anyway, on behalf of myself and Nikki, say goodbye, Nikki.
Bye, everyone.
And Eduardo, thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Please share. Please review. Please like. Please do whatever we can to help spread the word. And until next time, that's it. Peace.
Órale.